Well, good morning, those of you I didn't have the opportunity to say good morning to. But dads, as we return to the second half of our Father's Day message, having listened to the first portion last week, can you imagine being one of those dads you just saw in that animated film regarding Martyrs' Day? This day in June has been set aside so as to call the church to think about these things, as we have the whole month of November when we think of the voice of the martyrs as well. But Dad, think about it. Let's say something more stringent has begun in the United States and your family is being called to make a tremendous sacrifice and leaving the homes you've all known. You're the leader of the house. What has our Lord been asking you from last week to be aware of? The world is topsy-turvy. Satan has truly been given over to the world as it is now. The kids of Satan, they're doing a bang-up job in following their Antichrist, Satan himself. So dads, we have something happening in the country, and it's important that we be aware of it and preparing ourselves to be truly men who follow after Christ, to become these men of mighty men of valor that we read about that followed after David. Our Lord is calling us, gentlemen. He is calling us to follow after him. This morning's message is the same as last week in terms of its title. And Dad, I've given you five ways to protect and to maintain the unity of your family. So if you look on page 3 of your notes, that's where we're going to pick up. Here are five ways you can protect the unity of your family from the culture and the society that America has entered into and is becoming. Our country is becoming more and more anti-Christ. More and more. There is a tremendous revolution that has been going on the last many years, but it is a revolution of that which is Christ-like, moral, and against those who are anti-Christ, immoral, and wanting to follow after the things of the devil. So as we begin, gentlemen, there in your notes you'll see, number one, develop an attitude of acceptance. Develop an attitude of acceptance in your family. So look at that, gentlemen, and I want you to say with me in just a moment the following. I need to develop a biblical attitude of acceptance. Okay, men? I need to develop a biblical attitude of acceptance. Accept people where they are, not where you want them to be, Grandpa. I mean, there is a tremendous difference between the America I grew up in and the America my grandchildren are growing up in. With some of my grandchildren, we have deep misunderstandings. I want to follow after Christ. They very much want to follow our culture, our society. This is what they have come to know. So, gentlemen, we need to accept people where they are, not where we want them to be. Don't major on minor issues at home, Dad. Don't do that. You don't need to insist that everyone agree on every minor issue. when my boy had entered about 12, 13 years of age. I had this deep sense, since he had entered into the police explorer group at Devonshire Division, and not only entered into it, but ended up being the top cadet in that program, that I had a son that was going to follow after me and become a law enforcement officer with the LAPD. But the time came shortly after he was a cadet that he wanted to wear his hair differently from everybody else in the Explorer troop. He wanted what was called a step haircut, if you remember that going back several years. The hair was still short, but it was kind of, it had a step to it over the years. But that was unacceptable. You had to have a cleaner haircut in order to continue. Even though he was number one in academics as well as athletics, number one amongst all the others in the troop. Because of the haircut thing, they let him go. That was something they wanted to fight over. I told him that this is no big deal, son. You know, let's let it go. Let's just let this be a rule that you can follow. He wasn't interested. And so he would resign from the police explorer scouts. Well, a couple of years later, he wanted to let his hair go longer. He wanted his hair, as some of you remember, to go down below his ears. And with that, he also wanted to wear an earring. Well, you see, that was a major to me. It was a minor. But I was, no, there's not going to be none of this long-haired hippie stuff. And you're not going to wear that earring. Well, that made things difficult between my son and me. Why was I willing to die on that hill over hair that can be cut and an earring? That was a foolish thing for me to do. Dads, it's really important that you insist that you don't allow minor details become major issues at home. Looking at Romans chapter 14, verse 1, I love what the Holy Spirit expressed through the apostle, but he expresses this to you again, gentlemen, and to me as I've been looking to it throughout the week. He says, as for the one who is weak in faith. Now bear in mind, guys, I look at the scripture as it's intended. The Holy Spirit is speaking to Ron Seidel, just as he's speaking to you this morning. Because here he's saying, Ron, as for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him. As for Ronnie, Ron, welcome him. He is the one who is weaker in faith. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. Well, your hair shouldn't be that long. Really? Why? Why? Is there something in the Bible that says long hair is a sin? What about the earring? Isn't that sin? Where in Scripture do we find that explained? Except the one whose faith is weak, gentlemen, without quarreling over disputable matters. Disputable opinions. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9, Again, I begin reading this in this way, men. Ron, do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. So I share with my brothers this morning, and girls, I know you're listening. The same is true of you. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. We need to understand that the teachings of the apostles are of the importance here. What they have said about certain disputable matters, that's what we are to be concerned with. But if these are matters that are truly, they're disputable. I mean, you know, Debbie Stafford can have a different opinion about something than I do. Kathy, my wife, can have a different opinion about something, and she often does, than I do. They're disputable matters. I'm not talking about a matter that talks about heresy. We will do what the Lord says every time. But if it's a disputable matter, remember that. Notice that Paul recognizes there are disputable matters there in Acts 14. There are differing opinions. In 1994 and 95, I couldn't believe my eyes or my ears. But during that period, we were going through a rebuild here. The worship center was on its way. Well, this was supposed to be just classrooms. As you see, there are blinds in there hidden away and in there. And we would pull those out. And there's another one behind here. And we'd pull it out. And we would have four large rooms in here. At the time, the church was well over 300 people. But with the earthquake, our people were dwindling. They were going away by the dozens and the dozens. So this was never intended to be a worship center. It's why it's set up the way it is. It's supposed to be one to four large classrooms. This is what it was supposed to be. But however, we had a brand new kitchen in process. And there were two couples in the church. They're not here anymore. I thought these two couples would eventually mend fences over disputable matters. But the husband of one of the couples, he would pass away after we had rebuilt everything. But these two couples never mended the fence. What were they upset about? What kind of stove are we going to have in the kitchen? What kind of refrigerator are we going to have in the kitchen? I'm not kidding. They were at war with each other. They were both on the committee to decide colors and types of things that are going to go in the kitchen. And then I had another group. They're deciding, no, the walls in here have to be a particular color. And if they're not, boy, Ron was going to hear about it. And boy, did he hear about it. They didn't like Ron simply saying, you know, why don't we try those colors? If they don't work, you know what? It's just paint. It's just paint. We'll try your color next time. How about that? Not real acceptable, but accepted. What about the color of the carpets? Well, they have to be that color. They can't be another color. They have to be that color. What is the matter with people? The color of the wall? The kind of things we're going to put in a kitchen? All of these things are disputable matters. Why are we going to make it a major thing when it's a minor thing? Why are we going to lose friendship, lose harmony, lose these things in the church family? Well, the devil won one kind of little minor battle after another, making it a major one. Broke my heart. Just made other people mad. Action step, gentlemen. Working on developing an attitude of acceptance. Work on that. Ask yourself, is my brother or my sister going to go to hell because they don't take what I want done? Are you going to go to hell because you won't let your brother or sister's view, disputable opinion, hold its place? Work on developing an attitude of acceptance, Dad. Grandpa, spiritual dad, stepdad, uncle. Focus number two on our common purpose. Our common purpose. In just a moment, say with me, I need to focus on Father God's purpose for me and my kids. You hear that? Okay, let's say this together, gentlemen. I need to focus on Father God's purpose for me and for my kids. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, let's read this aloud together, men. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that were you no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now look closely here at what our Heavenly Father wants you and I as men of God. Yes, ladies, you as well. But this is about the guys last week and this week. He says, Ron, I appeal to you. He says, Chris, Gary, Eugene, I appeal to you. Brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree. In other words, live in harmony. It was a beautiful thing to watch how the Holy Spirit was dovetailing a portion of this morning's message with Gary Rasmussen's message to those of us that joined together for prayer today. That all of you agree, in other words, live in harmony, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same judgment. In other words, the same thought and purpose. So he's appealing. He's crying out to us, men. This is important to our Heavenly Father. And that he used words such as appeal. He's not saying, hey, guy, I'm suggesting. He said, I'm appealing to you. This should be taking place in your life as a man of God, as a true husband in Christ, a father who is to be looking after your kids as I would like you to. He's saying, I'm appealing to you, dear brothers and sisters for that matter, by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. We see throughout America, the American church, not wanting to live in harmony. They don't want to take the living, active, inerrant word of God and apply it to their individual lives and there be living in harmony individually, one with the other. To memorize scriptures like these doesn't happen. Knowledge like this doesn't walk with the average Christian in the streets or at home. This becomes like a foreign matter. What we have here before us is not a simple disputable matter. This is important that the man, since that's who we're talking to today, and the woman of God fulfill their responsibility to obeying the word of God. Live in harmony with each other. Some of you have had little tits for tats going with someone for an enormous amount of time. Please stop. Please stop. Pursue harmony. Go to that person to whom you have the tit with, that the tat might be erased, that you might actually sit and pray with each other and thank God that he's pointed out that both of you have been in disobedience, and he wants to see you growing together in his graces and his knowledge, and to be two people definitely honoring his son. Notice whose authority Paul is using to cry out to the church. You see that? Look at your notes. Jesus Christ's name. That sounds so informal when we are to know him so intimately. Jesus Christ's name represents all that he is, all that he is, his character and his will, that wonderful fruit of the Spirit, showing the gracious, loving character of our Lord. These are to be us. They are to be seen, manifested, lived out in us. Looking at your notes again, to pray in Jesus' name is not to expect Jesus to bow to your wishes or demand simply because you use that phrase. To pray in his name is to pray in accordance with his word. His word and his will. Not mine, not yours, his. Jesus' word perfectly reflects his character, his love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, his forgiveness, his lowliness, his meekness, his being there to come alongside and be a help. Dad, are these things that are reminiscent as other men think about you? There are men in our church family. This is exactly who they are. Such a blessing to know them and watch them continue to come alongside others and manifest this fruit. Dad, what we think, say, and do is right or wrong, not primarily because of its effect on us or on others, but because it does or does not conform to Jesus and bring honor to him. The fact is this, look at your notes. Your behavior as believers has its most direct relationship to Jesus Christ. When you sin or complain or quarrel, you harm your immediate family, the church, and its leaders and fellow believers. There is a broad spectrum here, gentlemen, when we are not men of the word, living as men of the word, because we injure lots of other people and the testimony, not only yours, but the testimony of the leadership here at GHCC. The whole testimony of our church family. It's a beautiful thing to be in the community and to hear people speak about, oh, I've heard about GHCC. What have you heard? That you're a very loving community. Ah, That's what I want to hear. Not that they're always fighting over stuff. That is not something that I hear and I'm grateful for. Looking back at your notes, you also put a barrier when you're conducting yourself other than these wonderful men of God. You put a barrier between unbelievers and the gospel. But worst of all, you bring dishonor to our Lord. How could I deliberately bring dishonor to him who actually went to a capital instrument of execution and died for me? How can I do that? In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 14. Ron, finally, all of you, Dad, are you listening? Have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Fellas, just in a cursory reflection on your own character, do you find yourself being in unity of mind, having sympathy with the people around you, having brotherly love, this phileo love, a tender heart, and a humble mind? Do not repay evil for evil, Dad, or reviling, Granddad. But on the contrary, bless. Look for the opportunity to bless. I email my two grandsons, as well as my five granddaughters, every day. And all I send them are reasons to be encouraged, how much value they have to their grandmother and me, how much they are deeply, deeply appreciated and loved. Dad, do you take your son aside, whatever their age is? Do you take your daughters aside, whatever their age is, and give them a hug and tell them, I may not have the words that will really ring true with you, son, daughter, but I love you so very much. What might I do? How can I be special in your life? Help you? Is there anything presently that you would feel comfortable in talking with me about? Maybe not now, maybe later today. Think about it, maybe later in the week. But so that they know that you really care, talk to them. Talk to them. Text them. That's their world. Text them. But on the contrary, bless, for this you were called. Now, this is all of us family, but Dad, this is being applied to us today. Do you bless your kids? Do you need to go back to your sons or your daughters and actually tell them before you can extend blessings to them, I'm really sorry for having picked on you about your cotton picking hair. Will you forgive me for my picking on you because of your earring? I did those things with Ronnie. Unfortunately, I didn't do it quickly. For to this you were called, to bless, gentlemen. And girls, same way. You can do this with your husbands, with your kids, yourselves. For this you were called that you may obtain a blessing. Do these things, and your heavenly Father, he has blessings in store for you. For whoever desires to agape life, to seek life's best and greatest good for yourselves, whoever desires to agape life and see good days, let him or her keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Oh, that these things should even be found in the church. These things should have been confessed and repented of, and reconfessed and repented of. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. The eyes of the Lord are on you, gentlemen. Bothers me to know that he sees everything I'm doing, hears everything I'm saying or thinking. I need to come back to passages like this, reread, confess, and repent. Seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. I want him to be able to listen to me. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous, Dad? Who is there to harm you if you are zelotes is the term here. Eagerly desirous for what is good. Eagerly desirous, Dad, for that which is excellent, the best, for yourself in a godly way, for your family. But even if you should suffer for righteousness, Dad, for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. But it's because of righteousness that you're suffering that you will be blessed, Dad. You've done the right thing. And the people in the world who are antichrist, they're not happy about that. I think about that father that is presently facing 12 years in prison. Why? What horrid thing did he do? He stood out front of an obituary. And there he prayed for the women going in and having their babies terminated. Because he prayed for them, was on the sidewalk. He was arrested, and he is awaiting to go to prison for 12 years. Do you think that the evil one is not present in our country and looking as Pastor Eugene would use the term just a while ago, the big C, not cancer. Of course, many think we are cancerous, but the big C for being a Christian, a real one. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, it says here. Focusing on a common purpose leads to unity, gentlemen. That's why GHCC will encourage everyone to go through a membership class. In that class, we clearly lay out the purpose of our church family. Dad, what is the purpose of your family? To be quite honest, until I learned about visions and missions and core value teams and such things back in the late 1980s, There was no vision or mission for the Seidel family. And we had a cute little ditty because of my having gone through the police academy. Everywhere we go, people want to know who we are, who we are. This is what we tell them, who we are. We are the Seidels, mighty, mighty Seidels. This is what we tell them, who we are. S-S-S-E-I. D-D-D-E-L. S-E-I. D-E-L. Oh, yeah. Seidel. Didn't think I remember that, did you, honey? These are important, Dad, because maybe you've never thought about it either. What is our mission? What is Kathy's and my mission? What is the mission that our children should be aware of? What is it in your families, gang? Pray about it, gentlemen. Pray about it. It's important. You know, I wouldn't want to join a church unless I knew where it was going. As I share with people, are you going to get on a bus without knowing where it's going? A pastor friend of mine made the mistake back in the days before Osama bin Laden made it so you couldn't go out to the gangway and say goodbye to family members. But this pastor, he was in a rush. He got to the gangway, and his first complaint was, I'm wearing one black and one brown pair of shoes. And then he recognized on the plane, when the pilot told him they're going to Chicago, his intent was to go to Atlanta. It's important. It's important, gentlemen. That's why I push people to take the membership class, because I don't want them to wake up and find out they're at the wrong destination. They may not want to go to where this church is going. So we have a mission. We have a vision. We have 6 core value teams, and they are often most able to be found in our worship guide or your directories. Dad, have you spoken to your kids about why you are doing what you are doing and asking them to do what you ask them to do? Dad, why do we go to church? You ever tell them why we go to church?
Because I said so.
No, that's not why we go. Talk to your kids about all the most serious things you can find. Find out what's really important to your son or to your daughter and talk about it. Well, gee, I don't know what to say to her. Well, listen to what she has to say. And then spend some time learning what you might say to her. Action step. Take the next membership class and be sure you understand GHCC's purpose, and then seek the Holy Spirit to reveal your family's vision and mission. We have a vision and a mission that I just explained to you, and I just encourage you. Maybe you and your wife should sit down and talk about these things. Kathy and I have, well, I've certainly gotten much older, and it's probably a good thing for her and I, maybe while we're on vacation, to talk about What are we going to be doing in this now older age? You've retired. That's proved to be a real poor thing. My time to retire is probably coming up. What are we going to do with each other and for the Lord Jesus? Will our mission and vision change? Number three, after you develop an attitude of acceptance, focus on a common purpose, such as we have for GHCC, but now for your family. Number three, control your tongue. Control your tongue. Say with me, I need to control my tongue, gentlemen. I need to control my tongue. I've been told more than once by the person I love more in this world than after Jesus, that I need to watch my tone with my tongue. That is, I'm not going to say it's impossible, but I find it very difficult to control my tone with my tongue. But I don't like hurting this person because my tone with my tongue expressed something other than what I want to express. Control your tongue, gentlemen. Don't let gossip fester in the family. And remember, you are the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're not in the church. Well, you are that too. But you are the church. You are the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have been born again. And if you're sincerely in the church, this is not something we can't do because he tells us we can. And it has to be with the help of God the Holy Spirit. Looking at your notes, something to think about. The Bible says gossip is a sin. Would you say that with me, gentlemen? Gossip is a sin. And this would be something to teach our children. It may be something we need to take our wives aside with. Gossip is a sin. When you listen to it, here's your fill-in, you become a partner in it. Girls, did you get that? You become a partner in it. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Dad, granddad, uncle, spiritual dad, stepdad, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Let none of this come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. It may give favor to those who hear. Dad, do not let unwholesome talk and tones come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up your son. That which is really good for building up your daughter. Your wife, according to their needs. If you're not sure what their needs are, ask them. Ask them. So that this may benefit them. Colossians 3:8. But now you must put away. Guys, you're listening? You need to put all this away. What do you need to put away? Anger. Anger. Gentlemen, we tend to be the greatest offenders with regard to anger. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouths. Put those things away. Stop using them. Don't say these things. Don't make them alive in your mind, in your mouth, in your life anymore. Now listen, this isn't Ron telling you to do these things. This is our Heavenly Father through the Holy Spirit telling us what we need to be obedient in and learning to do a better job at, actually to do it very, very well with excellence. I'm not there yet, but that's no excuse for you, and it's not an excuse for me. I still have to pursue it. So do you. Question with an answer. What is gossip? Gossip is when you're sharing a problem or criticism with someone who is neither part of the problem nor part of the solution. Why are you talking to these other people if they're not part of the problem or part of the solution? Why do we go to the social media and berate people? Gentlemen, if you're doing it, you need to stop. Gentlemen, if your wives are doing it, you need to pray with them and love on them and let them know this needs to stop. You're the leader in the family. God's going to hold you responsible. Action step, do not participate in gossiping. So control your tongue, don't gossip, create a focus on a common purpose created for your family, and develop an attitude of acceptance. Number four, encourage the support of your wife. Encourage the support of your wife, if you have one. If you have one. If you don't, then look at the rest of this. Encourage the support of your wife and other godly leaders. Other godly leaders. Say with me, I need the support of my wife and other godly leaders. I need the support and other godly leaders. Hebrews 13:17 should get the attention of everyone in your family. He says here, obey. You get that, Dad? Let's make it personal away from you. Ron, are you listening? Ron, obey. Obey your spiritual leaders. Obey. Listen to Chris. Listen to Gary. If you must, listen to Eugene. No. Listen to them. And do what they say. So long as it's not anti-Christian, anti-scripture, obey them. Do what they say. Their work is to watch over your soul, and they are accountable to God. They know I'm a prankster. These poor guys are going to be responsible for a lot. For which I need to confess and repent. They are accountable to God. These men are accountable to God for you, family. For you. When you choose to be disobedient to the Lord, they are the ones that Jesus is going to have a talking with. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. Obviously, the context is your church leaders, especially your pastors and elders. But Dad, you have the same responsibility in your home. And Mom, you need to come alongside and help your husband, the leader in your home, if you have a husband in the home. Otherwise, unfortunately, girls, this falls to you as a mother, as if you're being a single mother or a single dad wasn't already difficult enough. Mom and the kids should know to love, respect, and follow you, Dad. You may need to go back and to rehearse and to repent for any number, a whole host of things maybe, and ask them each one to forgive you. But do it. Personally, it's not the part about people obeying leaders in the church that concerns me. It's the part that says they are accountable to God. I find that difficult. Why should I be responsible for some knuckleheads in my church family? Because you will be, Ron. You need to make sure that you're teaching the whole counsel of God. No apology, but so they know the truth. And in that truth, you love them, and that's why you want to see them obedient to it. Men, Jesus will hold us accountable for the direction of our families, and their spiritual maturity is going to fall to us. If you remember last week, we looked at Deuteronomy chapter 6, two very, very exceedingly important passages in the Word of God for us as men. Might want to go back in your notes and read those, huh? Action step. Gather wise, mature, godly people around you and learn from them how to be better and better, Dad. So develop an attitude of acceptance. Focus on the purpose of your family. Control your tongue, gentlemen. Number 5, practice Abba Father's method of conflict resolution. Gentlemen, say with me, I need to resolve disagreements. I need to resolve disagreements and conflict. And conflict. And the way the Holy Spirit has told me to. In Matthew 18, chapter 15 through 17, gentlemen, it gives us the plan to follow when the unity of the church family, when the unity, it applies at home as well in the family. And if you think about it, it works really well with conflict resolution in the home between you and your spouse. In Matthew 18, beginning in verse 15, if your brother sins against you, Dad, if your brother sins against you, if your wife sins against you, if someone in the church family sins against you, go and tell him. Go and tell her. Don't bottle it up. Don't stuff it down. Go and tell him or her their fault between you and him alone. We're not going to go tell someone who's not part of the problem. We're not going to go tell someone who has no solution to this problem. We're going to go to the person who has sinned against us. So that may be your husband. That may be your wife. That might be your son or your daughter. Or that might be your parent. Go and tell him or her their fault between you and him alone. If he listens, if she listens to you, you have gained your brother. You have gained your husband. You have gained your wife. You have gained your son or daughter. But if he or she does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. This may require a family powwow. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. If he or she refuses to listen even to the church, let him or her be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. When you have a problem, gentlemen, within the family, we're going to use Abba Father's way of conflict resolution. Go to the family member immediately. If the person still doesn't listen, bring along other witnesses. I can see the arguments. Why would you do that? Why would you bring someone else in the family into this situation? Because you show them Matthew's gospel and you take them to chapter 18. Are we both Christians or aren't we? If we are, how does this not apply? How does it not apply? If the person still doesn't listen, bring along another witness. If the person still doesn't listen, bring them before the church. You come to me. You ask that person to come with you. We have a conversation. If the result is not what Christ would want, then the elders will be involved. And if it still doesn't work, if we don't get reconciliation to take place, then I will do a teaching like I have done 5 or 6 other times in 40 years. Unfortunately, I did a teaching in Matthew 18, and then we brought the person's name before the church family and explained what takes place from going forward. We do not shirk the responsibility of Scripture because it's uncomfortable. We do what he wants done because he wants his church to be holy as he is holy. I just feel like I need to say at this point, get it? Good. This teaching is also something that comes out in during our membership class. So, action step, Dad, your goal in this sort of situation is not punishment. You understand, Dad? This is not punishment. Our pursuit here is reconciliation. Always restoration of the relationship. That's what we're looking for. Restoration, not our pound of flesh. Jesus tells us that our unity will be a positive witness for him. John's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 35. Our Lord tells us, by this obedience, this acting out, living out the living, active, and errant, God-breathed out word of God, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, my mathetes, the ones who take up your cross daily and follow me, who are growing in me, who are learning what I've had to say and then living it out. They will know that you're my disciples if you have agape. Seek one another's best and highest good at your expense. If you have agape for one another. Question. What does your family unity tell the world about your awesome Savior? What does your family unity tell the world about your awesome Savior? Let's pray. Abba, Papa, Father, one of your greatest gifts is our dads and the men who are father figures in our lives. Thank you for these gifts, my Lord. Thank you for the unique and powerful ways they influence and shape us. We pray that dads would feel the warmth of appreciation and love for the way they pour themselves out for others. On days when the weight of fatherhood feels like a heavy load, we ask you to carry dads through those particular days with your power through the wonderful Holy Spirit. Father, please give them grace, favor, to model for their children how you have been merciful to us. Help them to practice gratitude and show kindness and forgive quickly. Help them to be generous with their words of praise, with their words of encouragement, with their time and attention and their resources in every area of their lives. We rejoice with those who rejoice. Those days with those dads during those days who have welcomed a new baby or adopted a child or a blended family. We thank you for those dads who have opened their home to a foster child and the men who have saved other spiritual dads by sharing the gospel with them. We thank you for these men who are examples, who serve as spiritual dads in the church, whose dads are not in the children's lives. We praise you for the spiritual legacies of grandfathers who continue to pray for their families. We also weep with those who are grieving today, those who have lost a child, or the relationship with a child, those who have lost their fathers or do not have godly dads, those who have been delayed in becoming dads, and all those dads whose hearts are broken. Please wrap your arms around them and give them your comfort. Lord, thank you for the good work you are doing in dads when they find themselves discouraged. Please show them a glimpse of the fruit of your wonderful character that is being manifested in these dads' children's lives. And may their children, Father, see their many sacrifices on their behalf. So, Father, give them joy in their faith and bless them every day, I pray. For I make this prayer, Father, and those who pray it with me, In the name of your wonderful Son, Jesus. Amen.